This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
What's the password?
What's the password? I don't know, Keith. What is the password? Well, so what happens, you turn on the mics before the opener is done. Anyway, welcome to A Biblical Response. And I'm David Francoeur, your joyful host and moderator. And I'm about to introduce my co-hosts and then introduce the topic for the day. The one who is hungry for the password is Keith Masters, so let me introduce him first.
Yikes.
Hey, password is Jesus Saves,
amen.
By the way.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
David. How are you?
Good to see you, Brian.
Yeah,
great.
Good to be
man.
Here. Yep.
Yeah.
Been 2 weeks. Yep.
It has been. We had our fundraiser.
We've been off the air. Yep. The fundraiser. That was great.
That was wonderful.
That was awesome.
The Lord blessed us as He always does.
Amen.
In fact, we at the end of the, we ended about what we normally do. We didn't make our $225,000 budget, but we got real close, $187,000 and some change.
But praise donations God. Are still coming in.
Yes, donations so, yeah. will keep coming in until near the next one in April. So, yeah, praise God. You know, it did what it was supposed to do, and we're going to move on now. And so, the
but
next,
that doesn't mean that you can't donate during this program.
Oh no, no, either. You can keep.
You
donating.
Can always donate.
You can. Yeah, the invitation is there for you, and we do appreciate that, and many do. You know, some people donate more than once, so thankful for that. Stephanie Jacobson, good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning to our listeners. I'm glad y'all are here with us today.
Amen. Amen.
It was a nice, refreshing break.
Yeah, a two-week break. We do this twice a year, so, you know, we're only on 48 weeks.
I was supposed to be in Kansas City, but that didn't happen, so I just hung out at the beach.
Hallelujah. That's well, the beach is a great place
yeah,
to hang
it's
out.
It's a great place to hang out.
Ask any crab.
Oh. Well, I'm not crabby.
I know. No, you're not. You're not crabby for sure. And I don't want to exclude other sea creatures
okay.
that live on the beach,
because
everybody is covered.
That's fair.
Ann Limhoko, good to see you.
Good morning. How are you, David?
Well, I'm well, thank you. Very well.
Well, this is my second day back because I had the pleasure of being on yesterday.
That's right.
So good morning. Keith and Stephanie are like coming into the studio the first time in 2 weeks, but this is my second day.
No,
and
I
you
was
know
here
what?
Last week.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, Keith is always on the air. We don't even know, but it's a pleasure to be here.
He is. He's definitely a perennial guest. It's always good to have Keith here and everybody here. I missed you guys, and it's wonderful.
We missed our audience, too, so hopefully we have them all
hopefully.
Back on the radio with us listening
and
to an
important topic. And maybe
some
new listeners. You
yeah.
know, so, and for the new listeners, let me just say the basic operating principle of this program in terms of the format is things happen in the news. Most people, I don't read a lot of news stuff, but I do some news sites because I want to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the things are concerning and to some people even frightening. But for the people of God, when we go back to the Word of God, God will help us understand how to deal with the issues that concern us and even frighten us.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of this, the reason for the program is to look at these news items through the biblical lens. And as we're doing this, to encourage you, the listener, to maybe turn to the Bible a little more for your own edification, but also do what we do, because in order to prepare for any of these programs, we go on the internet. We look at sites we can trust, gathering information, because, you know, we don't know all into the depth that we would like to know. So you, listener, you can do the same thing. you can do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Was that the password?
No, that was the computer.
That was the computer. Computer saying, I don't like this password. Give me another one. Yeah, to, I love like it when computers do that. But, you know, we encourage our listeners to check what mm-hmm. we're saying. Go online. Do what we do. See, you know, if you don't like what we hear, if you don't like what we're saying that you're hearing, check it out. We would rather you do that than simply grab onto an emotion and beat it to death, because that doesn't take anybody anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So do what I'm going to recommend you do that. But so today, what's been in the news is the No Kings movement. And some of you may be distressed about that. Some of you may not have an opinion, and a few of you might even be excited about it. But the point is, we want to look at this. I'm going to start us out by looking at the core of the movement. Basically, how did it get started? Who's involved in it? And how's it getting funded? And then we're going to move. Ann is then going to address what has been happening, the activity recently. And then we're also going to go into, we're going to look at the Constitution, constitutional elements, and of course, the scriptural underpinnings of mm-hmm. how we should deal with, the core issues, why this even exists. So I'm going to start with the No Kings movement. Was basically the two key organizers, and all of these groups, by the way, are what I would say are left-leaning groups, liberal progressive groups. Some are very far left. The two key organizers of the No Kings movement is the Indivisible movement and the 50501 movement. Both of those lent a great deal of organizational skills and money to this. But the No Kings movement is connected to over 200 left-leaning groups that are a part of the organization and the activity, including the Move On group, Third Act movement, American Federation of Teachers, Social Security Works, Communications Workers of America, American Civil Liberties Union, and Public Citizen. Now, I'm going to say up front, and again, some people are going to, you may have, don't be sitting too close to the edge of your chair because I don't want you to fall off of it. But this all came about because of a response to President Trump and his decisions, his executive orders, and overall his attempts to begin to restore the nation. To move away from all the fraud, waste, and abuse that previous administrations and congressional folks have participated in. And this has had a major impact on much of the far left, especially. We see their responses clearly in how they react to this, much of which is very upset about it, and sometimes it results in violence. So the goals of the No Kings movement, it emerged as a response to what the participants described as an authoritarian policies and corruption, as they say, within the Trump administration. They aim to affirm democratic values, to oppose any notion of monarchical rule in the United States. The name No Kings reflects the belief that power should belong to the people, not a single leader or administration. Now, the constitutional aspects of that will be dealt with later, but just to remind you, this we live under the authority of the Constitution and how it guides our government and its leaders. And there are limitations that the Constitution establishes to how government is to operate. And no matter what some people feel or think, we can go back to their concerns and the actions of not just President Trump, but the Congress and the judicial branch, and we can see that everyone has stayed within the lines. But we can also see that the current president has pushed the envelope in terms of his constitutional authority like no other president has done. And that it's that differential.
Why do you think that is?
Why do I think that is?
Opinion.
I'll give you my opinion. because he has a mandate to restore this nation to its fundamental godly roots, which, again, we can discern in the founding documents and certainly in the Constitution in terms of the freedoms and the responsibilities, and to cut out government overreach, the whole fraud, waste, and abuse that is evidentiary. It has happened. They're digging it up every day.
And the interesting thing about that, I'm not going to – I just want to say that the interesting thing about that particular portion of what he's doing is it's not outside of what the Constitution is allowing. And I think a lot of people think that he's doing something that's much bigger than what he should be doing.
Right.
And in reality, that's why he's there, is to mandate – things with inside the Constitution. Now we have the Supreme Court that, you know, they're there to help with that. And then there's the legislators. So you got the lawmakers and you got the judicial and you got, okay, but that's why the powers are all separate, right?
Exactly.
And so he is actually acting within the power of the presidency and people are upset about it.
Yes.
I mean, that's why we're where we're at right now, but he's not unlawfully doing so.
And this is, again, every time he's been challenged legally, in my recollection, it's gone to the Supreme Court and they've affirmed his authority.
Correct.
So, and that, of course, will continue. But,
you know, just a question, David. How many times have they taken President Trump's authority to the courts?
Oh,
every time. Every time.
Right. And that's the point. And we know that that's what that is. But at what, you know, where does that happen with other presidents?
Mm-hmm.
Where does that happen with other presidents? It just doesn't to this degree. And they did it to him in his first term, and they're just constantly doing it now. They're obstructing, they're delaying for the law to be upheld as it was written through the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And again, I mean, that's the basic reason why the No Kings movement began and why all the other groups attending to it are pushing for this to become even more mainstream. Also, the funding, primarily the proven sources of funding, are the Open Society Foundation, that's George Soros's money, and of course he and now his son Alexander, more so Alexander, running that. Well, again, far left stuff to try and influence a return to the way it used to be, which was, again, fraud, waste, and abuse. And not just, you know, that, but a repression of, and think about this, look at the last administration before, you know, the Biden administration, repression of religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
By the things that we do know, we can see that had been in the news, the weaponization of the DOJ toward one case in specific. The pro-life Catholic guy who became very visible in the news, his position against abortion, his love of life, that the FBI raided his home at gunpoint. Several agents with armed came to his house.
How long ago was that?
That was back in Biden administration, maybe 2 years.
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
It was a couple years ago, but there are other examples that I'm sure the news,
that's one of
just
many
the news
examples.
Itself would show.
Yeah.
And all of that, I'm going to pass this over to Ann, but all of that, if you just look at it just as an overview of what the left is doing, you know, these movements that are out protesting in public, and some of these groups are violently protesting because they're afraid. They're afraid of losing what they've had for so long, access to our money to do things that we don't know they were doing.
Yeah, so I know you're punting it back to me, David.
Yeah, I'm going to punt it right now.
Our audience who's listening, if you don't even know what happened this past Saturday across all of the United States of America and even abroad, there were rallies, and they're called No Kings rallies. Did you know that there were over 80 events all over Florida? And we are a pretty conservative state. Mm-hmm. We had over 80 events occurring in Florida. 6 on the Treasure Coast, where we're currently located, okay? And apparently, there were an estimated 2,700. That's a lot of people. I don't know if you guys looked on social media, but you see the swarms and swarms of overhead pictures. Our country is in an uproar, and we as Christians need to be aware of what this very dangerous movement, which David gave us a great background, and we will unveil more of this and peel the onion as we go forth today and in consecutive weeks, because this is huge. This is spiritual, right? I'm looking at my co-host. This is foundational.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're just mad, but they're pouting. Okay? And if you look at them, they're just anti-Trump hate rallies. They don't stand for anything. They're just against what Trump is doing. And Stephanie will go into this later about the Constitution. But what President Trump is doing is within the Constitution. We have a system of checks and balances that was put together over 200 years ago, almost 250 years ago. So if President Trump is doing something that may be illegal, it may end up in the Supreme Court. But just 2 days ago, the Supreme Court ruled that he can send the National Guard into Oregon. They actually agreed with him. So they keep fighting. And so you have these protesters, which, by the way, have you seen? They're dressed in costumes. It's disgusting. Have you guys seen the pictures?
No, I haven't.
Inflatable animals. And they're dressing up like clowns. They're wearing wigs of orange looking like Trump. And they're calling Trump a Nazi. These are this agenda, and people wake up who are listening, is completely evil, and we need to unpack what this agenda is.
It's an undercurrent.
Yes.
It's an undercurrent.
And it's swarming because this happened even in his first administration.
It's an undercurrent. And when you look at, and I know, Stephanie, you got something on your heart.
No, it's okay.
I think all of us have something to say. Yeah. But this is serious.
Yeah, because even before the show and the program started, that we were discussing that this is not a one-time program. This is, there's so many
subject.
Rabbit holes. And in Proverbs, gee whiz, there's just so much.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Yeah, we'll get this. Right.
We'll get this.
You know, in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 21, right? We have to understand as Christians, and if you're a Christian, and if you're disliking President Trump, I mean, that is not what God is asking us to do, to investigate why that is happening. Because in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 21, it tells us, right? God changes. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And then if you go to Book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 1, it tells
us,
right?
Yeah.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And I wanted to lead into that because that's where we're coming from, for the audience to understand that the title of this program is called A Biblical Response, and this is where we are coming from. And the people that are going against President Trump is going against the Word of God, and they're going against him for their own agenda to sabotage the United States and the Declaration of Independence, or the Declaration of the Constitution. The Constitution, to sabotage the Constitution, and to change the foundation of America to suit their wants.
Okay, so, Ann, you talked about they're mad at Donald Trump, and they're going after Donald Trump, and they hate Donald
Trump. They're anti-Trump rallies, basically.
And then,
well, it's a hatred.
And then, Keith, you went a little bit deeper and was talking about the foundational teachings in the Bible. The problem is that Trump is upholding what our framers
of the Constitution.
Even before the Constitution, the Declaration.
The Declaration.
We'll go into that in a little bit.
Okay.
But, and I'm sorry, I'm not.
No.
You're right.
The
Declaration is a frame, like a picture frame, and the Constitution is inside of that frame. So the Declaration is actually holding.
Yes.
The laws. They haven't attacked the Declaration yet, but they do every day by not actually they're going against Trump, but they don't realize they're actually going against God. This is the problem, is their eyes are blinded. And those that I've always been a Trump supporter. I'm not deranged and a Trump like over the top.
Yeah.
I didn't call Biden names. I didn't, you know, but I knew he was not a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
There was no leadership there, mm-hmm. right? Trump is leading the nation right now the best way he knows, according to the Constitution and then the Declaration. He doesn't even go back to the Declaration. He goes back to the Constitution. But the Declaration is really where we're going to find out in a little bit why that's so important to know what it is. But Keith, you said that the scriptures that you read, if we don't go back to that foundational teaching, then we're already off. What was the program we did not too long ago? And we did two programs on it because we knew that there wasn't enough time in one.
Mm-hmm.
Was the holiness of God.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about right now is mm-hmm. it is the Constitution. It is the Declaration. But it is the holiness of God because everything flows out of that. And if we don't start there...
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about all this other stuff today, and we're going to. And I know we're going to talk about New York, and we're going to talk about some other things. But as our listeners prepare to hear more of what we're going to say, think about the holiness of God and how it is the foundation for all of what's going on right now.
Yes.
And let's go take a break, and we'll be right back.
What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Renowned saxophonist Aaron Abu joins former Miami Sound Machine members Pedro Alfonso and Manny Lopez in concert to benefit the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, a charity that blesses military veterans, first responders, and their families. This is only one night at the Lyric Theater, downtown Stuart, Florida, October the 30th. For more information, tickets are available online at lyrictheater.com or by phone 772-286-7827.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Welcome back to A Biblical Response. If you're just now tuning in or had tuned in during the break, we're looking at the No Kings movement and kind of diving deep into how that got started, and we're doing some commentary around that. You may have a thought you'd like to share with us or a question, and you're welcome to call in. The number to do so is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And someone's out there, I believe, to take your call, and they'll patch you right in. All right, let's pick up where we left off before the break.
As Stephanie was talking, things were brewing in my head, and then we went to break, so hopefully it's still brewing.
Wasn't coffee, but, was it?
It's right next to me as well. I need my coffee. But
yeah.
This genre of people who are against President Trump, they're complaining, okay, about what President Trump's doing, but during the last administration when former President Biden was our president, do they even remember all the civil liberties that were taken from us during those years? Right?
Oh, that's a big one.
Like, I lost my job because I chose my own body not to put in the COVID vaccine, which should be a person's own choice, right? But they locked down. We couldn't get out of our homes. Like, it's just ridiculous because it's so, it's hypocrisy in its purest form. And it just makes me so frustrated because they don't see what happened in their own administration. Now they think, well, Trump is being a tyrant, but he is doing what I believe the Lord has called him to do. The church has risen up and is rising up and has elected President Trump for such a time as this. And I'm not saying that we're idolizing President Trump, but he's clearly being used, Audience, he was saved by a bullet from like a quarter of what, a millimeter of dying.
He hadn't turned his head.
If he had not, if he, yes, then he would be dead.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So I'm just saying, we're not trying to idolize the president, but we're trying to open people's eyes to see that the president is clearly being used, and also especially for Christians and our freedoms, right?
And I want to throw one thing in at this point.
Yeah.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I know there are people that, let me just say this, and scripture that Keith already shared with us and the several other scriptures that call the people of God to support their leaders. And that kind of support through prayer and any other activity that we feel as patriots we should provide. But no person that occupies the office of president or if another country prime minister or even king, because our, by the way, I should say, we can't have kings over here, thank God, because of the Constitution. But we are required to pray for them. We're not required to like them even. Or some of the things they do. And even, I know one comment that came to us about when President Trump had made a comment after Erica Kirk's forgiveness, which I totally agree with, of the guy that killed her husband. And then Trump, you know, responded and saying, well, he had trouble forgiving people. Well, that's a personal statement. I'm not going to stop praying for him. I'm not going to violate what God put on my heart through his own word to do for any leader because of one thing that he said or one thing that he did. Let's get over it. He's the president. We are required. If you're a believer, now if you're not a believer, then you're scratching your head. Okay. But if you are a believer, if you say you're a Christian and you're born again especially, then you're required to pray for all of our leaders, not just him, the Congress and the judiciary, not just in the national level, but in every state. You're required to pray for every leader at every level of government, federal, state, county, city. You know, if you don't like your dog catcher, well, pray for them anyway. I'm telling you, this is God's word. There's no wiggle room.
I know
on
we're
that.
Heated up here. We're heated up because we're heated because we hate evil.
Yeah.
But the three of us here, and David fourth, we pray for people who we disagree with, even though we sound like we're mad. But you know
passionate.
What? We need to be passionate because.
Okay, can I tell you somebody?
There's
we
some
need
Christians
pray for?
Who don't even like get engaged in culture. They don't even know what's going on in the world. Go
no,
ahead.
No, it's true, and I'm going to just bring something.
Yes,
I hope it's funny. I didn't know that we had to elect the mosquito people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I've heard of the dog catcher, but I'd never heard of when I moved from Missouri. It's like we elect this.
There's a mosquito abatement district. I come from Chicago, which has so many levels of government.
I'm sorry.
So you had
to a rabbit hole, but that made me laugh when I saw that. But now I understand why. Because they're as big as houses. These dang mosquitoes down here. Okay, so back to the...
Get back on track, Stephanie. But I also want to talk about the rise of Marxism in the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. Right?
Go for it.
Yeah. And these protesters, Democrats, I mean, you look at the funding.
The problem is
the
not
funding,
all of them are Democrats.
Some of
okay?
them, oh, you're right, you're right, you're
so
right.
So we got to be careful with that because there is a dividing line. I get it. But we've got a lot of people that are conservative-leaning. I mean, they call themselves conservative, but they are starting to take a hold of the words and the things that people are saying.
We got a call
coming
though.
In.
1 second. Okay, Stephanie, you could bring that back. I'm going to answer the call.
Okay, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a question for you, for your panel.
Okay.
Yes, I'd like to know, I heard you say that Trump was doing things within the Constitution. And I'd like to know if you can agree with me that the Constitution wasn't written for minorities. It wasn't written for slaves at the time, right? It was written for only the Caucasian race.
Ooh. Okay.
It was written for everybody. It wasn't written just for one race. What do you mean? Sure. Everybody who was living back then.
I mean exactly what I said. It was only the white race that was benefiting from the Constitution at the time. Minorities wasn't in a state of power. They wasn't considered. As a matter of fact, blacks were considered one third of a person at the time.
Yeah.
Have you read, can I, this is Stephanie, have you read.
Who are we speaking to?
The Declaration. Yes. What is your first name?
Oh, my name is Craig.
Hey, Craig.
Nice to meet you, Craig.
Nice to meet you.
Have you read the Declaration all the way through?
Yes, I have.
The first part of the Declaration says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And in those words, and then it obviously goes on to other, I don't know what's going on in the radio.
Is that coming from you, sir?
Is that your radio?
That noise in the background.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I'm a Christian, too, and I listen to your programs because there's no other program that will pick up.
Yeah.
And I like the music, but I'm also exposed to your messages also. And I know I'm aware of your viewpoint. I disagree with a lot of things you say. I'm not angry with you or I don't hate you for the things that you say. I strongly disagree because I've had a different experience in this country. And my experience is different than yours. I can ask you a couple of questions that will expose, expose things or bring things to the forefront. I can ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
That would do that.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, do you have a child or grandchild?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you love them dearly, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as I love mine. Would you have a problem if your grandchild, whom you love, married a black person, or would you have a problem, and it's a two-fold question, if a member of black or Hispanic moved in your neighborhood, would you guys have a problem with that?
Sir, I have a black grandson.
Minorities moved in your neighborhood, it would decrease your house value.
This is Ann. I'm Asian American. I'm not white. But why is this whole context of the conversation just about race? Why is it only about that?
Ma'am, I'm going to explain it. I will explain it to you.
Okay.
And I hear some anger in your voice.
Oh, no. There's no anger, sir.
Craig.
Suffering on your tongue, but
and Craig,
anyway,
let me.
Everything is about race. In this country, everything is about race.
So, Craig, can I ask you a question?
You don't know that.
Craig, sure. What color is your blood? What color is your blood?
The color of my blood is red.
Right. So is mine. So is Ann's. So is Stephanie's. So is David's, and so is Jesus's. Our blood is one color. We are unified under Jesus.
Yeah.
And to separate the flesh and to get upset with the flesh is not living in the spirit and staying in the spirit of one blood of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you.
Craig, I want to.
Which is why I called.
And
I've heard you guys getting upset with the left, sir.
With the left.
We're upset with their ideals,
yes.
Not with the people.
Yeah, not with the people,
yes.
But the agenda.
Right.
Okay, and the reason.
I'm not upset mind on Caucasians. I'm not upset with the idea of racism.
Okay, let me tell you something, Craig. I have a black grandson that I wouldn't trade for anything on the face of this planet, and I don't treat him any differently than I would anyone else.
That's great.
Okay, so let me just. But you said what would happen if my daughter or son married someone of a different race. That's not what the problem is. The problem is the heart. And if we don't get back to that, I mean, my skin color is white, yes, but my heart is geared towards people that don't know who Jesus is. And the problem that we're trying to talk about today goes back to the foundational teaching of that all men were created equal, and the reason they were was because God created them that way, not because man did.
Yeah.
Man, and I'm going to use this word, and excuse me, but it's man bastardizes what God has done for good and for pure, but man takes it and makes it and bastardizes it. That's what the enemy does. So what we're trying
to you, but the basis of your conversation is that we all were created equal. Am I right? That's the basis of your conversation.
God created it equal. Man,
president wrote that. You know which president wrote that?
God wrote it in His Word. He created it.
Which president wrote that in the Constitution that all men are created equal, Mel?
Well, there was no president.
There was no president.
The Declaration of Independence.
I tell you, Craig, we're
yes.
We really need to move on with our the program, Craig. But I want to make sure that you made your point.
But Craig, yeah, can I just ask one question? Yeah.
Can I just say one thing, sir, and then go for your program? I'm sorry. Sorry for
interrupting. Don't apologize.
No, you weren't interrupting. Weren't interrupting. No, not at all.
Yeah. I'm just saying, and I agree with you. That was in the Constitution, but at the time that was written, blacks were considered one third of a human being.
Right.
The Constitution says that all men are created equal, and I think that's ironic. That's just my point. You guys have a nice day. God bless you. I have no hate in my heart for you. I love you guys, and even if my opinion is different.
Hey, amen.
God bless you.
We don't love you because of opinions. We love you because you're a man of God.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. And the same here, I appreciate
that. Amen. God bless you.
You know what? I love that he called.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you for listening, even though you said you don't agree, but you're open-minded to listen to our program.
And we need more conversations like this.
He's upset that we're, I think Craig was upset that we're leaning against the left. But it's not against the left. It's against the platforms that they speak on, which goes against the word of God. Platforms are, right? They support the LGBTQ. God created man and women.
Mm-hmm.
They support the gay marriage, which God does not. They support abortion. God created man mm-hmm. in His image. Mm-hmm. So it's those issues that we have a problem with.
Yeah.
And it's the trying to overtake the righteousness of God through the law
mm-hmm.
and the country that God gave us.
You know, mm-hmm. it's interesting he was talking about race, because this is a place where I have to go a lot of times in the ministry that I'm in. And I work with women that have had abortions, men that have had abortions. I've had two abortions. People know that's listened to this for a very long time. But if you look at the race issue and the race situation that has come up through our country and even before, it is the degradation of man, of human. They didn't think that they were human, and so that they could dehumanize them. It's the same thing with abortion. So it's the dehumanization of humans. They aren't human. They don't want to think that they're human, so they can do whatever they want with what's inside of that woman. It's the same fight. We're fighting the same fight.
Yeah.
They weren't one third human.
That's a good point.
So they aren't one third human in the womb, and they weren't one third human when the Declaration of Independence was written. And that was why they wrote in there that all men are created. They understood that all men were created equal. No matter what was happening in the United States at that time or later on, They knew it, and they wrote it in there so that we could go back to it and say, no, you are human. You are just as much human as I am. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say thank you, Craig. That was an amazing call, and we hope you call back.
I want to say something Amen. Else, though, that each and every person, regardless of race, is created in the image of God.
Amen.
There's and that's not what one the Word race. Of God
yeah.
says.
Amen.
And while the Word of God yeah. informs the really the men who wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, mm-hmm. we also have to realize that broken humanity, mm-hmm. you know, was hearing from God. But that brokenness, we can look back over history. We get God. We listen to God. God moves us along. Decisions that need to be made ultimately are made, even though sometimes it's over time. I would say, well, I'm going to say we're going to take a break. We need to take this break. We'll be back, we're going to hear a song. Natalie Grant, King of the World. A title just jumped out at me when we were thinking of our stuff. We'll be back in about 3.5 minutes. And welcome back to the last part of A Biblical Response. We'd been kind of delving deep into the No Kings movement, and we're going to shift tracks here today. We're going to pick up the No Kings thread next week a little bit. But we wanted to talk about something that's very important going on right now, and I'm going to turn over to Keith, I think, who's going to address that.
You got it, Keith.
Yeah, you got it, Keith.
And there's a thread as to why we're going against going for the same subject.
Yeah, and this is big. This is important because I think in 2 weeks is when they're holding the mayoral election for New York. And mayoral election.
He said,
right, yeah. And this guy, Zoran Mamdani, is running for mayor in New York City. Zoran Mamdani was born in Uganda, and he's a acclaimed socialist. Underneath, we believe that he's a communist, and he wants to give everything away for free. It's a critical situation because this is the undertone. This is the the undercurrent of what's going on in this country, and he's trying, and your freedoms will be taken away if you decide to elect this person as a mayor. He wants to give everything away for free. He wants to give you free bus fare. He wants to give you free child care, free daycare, and for the lower income families, I can understand how that can be attractive to you because the buses are a needed asset. Not everybody has cars, and there's a lot of people that travel by bus. And I'm sure if you have free buses, why not have free subways? Wouldn't that be next? And all of this is going to cost about $15 billion, which they don't have. And as a matter of fact, on one of the news stations this morning, there was Gristiti's owner. I just forgot his name.
Oh, we can't help you on that one because
no,
I didn't see it.
Yeah, Gristiti's. He's a pronounced businessman in the city of New York, and he's got a lot of influence and a lot of clout. And he's asking Curtis Sliwa to step out of the race. Because Mayor Cuomo, Governor Cuomo,
former governor Cuomo,
who is running now for mayor, that would tighten the race a lot because that would pull some of those votes for Sliwa over to Cuomo. And the upset there is that Cuomo, as a Democrat, see, and that's the difference. That's what that was trying to be said this morning. Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, is a Democrat from the Democratic Party. Mamdani is a socialist. Almost going into a communist. Mm-hmm. And what he's saying, he's coming from nowhere. He's got no experience. And I'm going to read you something. I've got some Vanity Fair magazine. The Lord happened to send me a Vanity Fair magazine.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you normally take that?
No, it's no. But it's addressed to my house, but under a different name, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know who this person is, but it's to my house. And it just happens to be with Zoran Mamdani.
Oh, my goodness.
The article is all about Zoran Mamdani. So the Lord sent the magazine to my house, right? Mm-hmm. So it says here, oh, man, there's just so much. And this, you know, Mamdani is a Muslim, number one. He's a Muslim, I think, is what he is. But he told a New York reporter that he started walking in cemeteries because they were the only place he could go now without being stopped by anybody. But anybody that walks in cemeteries, I'm sorry. I mean, we gotta start to ask some questions. So let me see what I have here because it's just... So he says he's running for New York. He represents, and the weight of potential historical thing always trails him. Moore's Church. He went and he spoke at Moore's Church, which is a Baptist church up in New York City. But I don't understand. You know, this is the second time where I've seen somebody, a candidate, go into a Baptist church and go start speaking to pull people over to the to vote for them. Mm-hmm. That they're walking, the candidates are walking into the Baptist church. Let's see what it says here. I'm sorry, I just so
Keith,
much.
I'm
here.
Gonna,
go ahead, you, please. You,
okay, so pick here. Something. Pick something. So,
yep.
But the reason why we are bringing this up is the same people that are also
supporting and going to these No Kings protests, which we said there were over how many on Saturday? 2,700 on Saturday. Yeah. Are the same people that are supporting this very, very dangerous mayoral candidate named Zoran Mamdani. And I know that Keith said the election is, what, next month? But in 4 days, early voting starts for New Yorkers. And I know that there are a lot of New Yorkers who live here in South Florida who still vote back in New York.
Right.
And the reason why we're talking about this is the dangers of this man.
And I don't think they understand that. And I don't think that they see that.
Well, first of all, go to his website, because his website is www.zoranfornyc.com. Zoranfornyc.com. That's his campaign website. He is a self-proclaimed Marxist slash communist. He's not hiding that, Keith. And he wants to basically bankrupt the government and give everything away for free.
Right.
Which is why our government right now is what? How many weeks are we now into the government shutdown? Because the Democratic Party wants to give what they won't. They won't give in on giving the free health care.
And that's
so now we're stuck on this.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole.
You want New York to end up the same way in that standstill? It's going to be awful if this man gets elected. Yeah. But go ahead, Keith.
And so here in the article it says, like many other lefty candidates who have won office in New York in recent years, had another base. This was the Muslim Democratic Club of New York, which he joined in 2015, just after he left college. Participating in the Muslim Democratic Club of New York, still in his early 20s, brought him to political meetings around the city, introducing him to a New York that few people from his sort of communist elite, okay, Upper West Side and private liberal arts college background engage with much. It was here that he closely observed the relationship between many Muslims up and coming in New York City politics with politicians and with the institutions. You know, that's very hidden, because they have, that's very hidden in the politics of New York, the Muslim that comes into New York.
Can I say that very hidden is two words that I think that is used a lot in the leftist mentality in their speech. They don't want anything to be in light.
Right.
They don't, and I'm saying this as the biblical response.
Jesus is light.
Here's the deal. The enemy doesn't want anything in the light. And so what is the contrast here is, what is President Trump doing? He has put things in the light so everyone can see. You know, they have these laws in our states that are called sunlight laws or something like that.
Sunshine laws.
Where we can go in and see what is being done through the internet, or what is being done through their texts, or you know, what is being said on the floor. We can see what's being... Trump has done things in the light, and people are in an uproar because of it. But when... past administrations, I'm not going to say the names, past administrations were doing things, they were doing them in secret. I mean, we had judicial people changing the laws for the ballots in 2020. We had people that were not organized to do that. That is not their job. And so we had an uproar because things were being done in secret. Now things are being done in the light, and people are like, why is he doing all of this? Well, it's because the Constitution says he can. We have to follow what our founding fathers set up, because they knew what this government needed. And it was not people. It was God. The foundation is the biblical principles. So this whole thing in New York is a slippery slope. What you're saying, Keith, is it's a slippery slope. It was the last administration up there.
Yeah,
you know,
and
now
the Christian churches haven't spoken out. Up
I'm
in
not
New
eloquent
York.
On this. So
I don't know what's happening in New York. And
we're going to need to wrap this up.
Yeah,
because time is running out. I want to say just one thing. And socialism is an ungodly construct that literally destroys cultures and people. And someone will say, well, We're just talking about one American city, not the entire nation. Where does an infection start? It comes in through some vector on your body, and it grows. And there's a lot of people that are supportive of the socialist mindset, and it is ungodly. You can look at the history of socialism if you have the courage and see that wherever it has been tried, it has failed. And in its failure, millions of people, look at Soviet Union, other places where socialism has taken root in some Asian cultures.
Absolutely.
Even today, you can see today socialism in South America. There's a lot of countries.
Mm-hmm.
Africa. It's a failed system, and people die because of it. And God doesn't like it.
Well,
that's a pretty generic statement.
You've had Bernie Sanders. You've had Bernie Sanders, who was a promoter of Mondami. Okay,
right.
So is Kamala Harris, former vice president.
Right. They've stated, you know, Bernie Sanders is a socialist and an activist in the government today, and he's been there since 2007. So, you know, you could just get, you know, this guy has been in there since 2007 to 2025. I mean, 10, 15, 18 years now, he's in office, and that's where it keeps coming in. Socialism, and it starts to, you know, people start to hear it, and not the churches are not speaking up enough about what needs to be said. There's a million Muslims in the five boroughs of New York City. They carry weight.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian,
Where are they not speaking up in New York?
And see,
That's what I don't
understand, because Mondami does not like the Jews.
No,
he's
his website. We're not saying anything that is not on his website.
Yeah,
so,
do go and check those things out. We need to wind it down here. We're about a couple of minutes out from having to say goodbye, and we do appreciate your listening, and especially Craig. Again, thank you for calling us, brother. We would love to continue a dialogue with you.
Heavenly Father, we're just going to say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this program, Lord, to share your wisdom, your words, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord, for the listeners and for the understanding. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Stephanie, you got any last words?
Yeah. You know, there at the beginning of our show, we always say Hebrews 4:12, and it's the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. But the next verse says, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I am thankful that nothing is hidden from God.
Amen.
We can
nothing.
Discuss everything that we want around here, and we can talk about it till we're blue in the face.
Yeah.
But God has, this is not a cliche, he has it all under his control.
I just want to say, Revelation 19:16, Jesus is the only King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
Nobody else is above Jesus.
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody. Not me, not you, not anybody. And not Trump, and Trump knows that. Not nobody, no leader.
No.
I think it would be great if more leaders would come to grips with the fact that they have their authority directly from God and act accordingly.
That would be good for all of us here in the nation,
I think,
would
so.
It not?
That's my opinion anyway.
Today, I forget it sometimes.
Yeah.
Today is the 21st. As I went to read Proverbs 21 today, this morning, it reads, the first verse is, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
As the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will.
Yeah.
So
the word of God doesn't lie.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The Lord ponders the heart.
And I guess to throw out at the end something to chew on is to look and I do this myself, and I encourage everybody else to look into your hearts. No matter who it is that it generates anxiety or pain or even hate, question that emotion that you're dealing with, that you've embraced, and ask God about it, what he thinks about it. And on that score, God bless you, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, write, pray, and invest in God's Word for God.